Everybody's ready, Matthew. I'm ready. We're ready.
Hell yeah.
Oh, boy. We're ready.
This is First Up. I'm Matthew Cause. That's Carlo Colaiacovo. Edward will be on the show in just a second. And beyond making fun of Russell Wilson, what the hell is going on with Kyler Murray? There is so many incredible games this weekend. We are joined now by our NFL analyst from ESPN. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for joining the show today.
How are you guys doing? Big Buffalo Bills game on TV tonight, starting a week in which there are six games in which both teams enter the game with a winning record. That hasn't happened the last 3 years.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, we can just lather in all the NFL wonderfulness. Okay, you know what? Let's just start there. For Buffalo, I mean, it's not the end of the world that they're 0-2 in the division. They've only played two games. But considering the amount of teams like the Titans and the Ravens and the Jets that are only a game back of Buffalo, this game is sneaky. It's much more important for them than I think people might have thought at the beginning of the year.
Not to mention they've got their big meeting with Odell Beckham Jr. tomorrow, so you really want to deliver an impressive performance to wow him in this recruiting process. And I think the other interesting part of the game for Buffalo is, you know, how is Leslie Frazier, their defensive coordinator, going to respond to not having their pass rush specialist, Von Miller, who they signed specifically to close out games like the one we predict they'll be playing tonight, which is a close game where Buffalo may be trying to protect the lead late. You know, the interesting thing I saw with Von Miller's injury, and he's hoping to be back, I think, next week against the Jets, is that if you look at Buffalo's leader in creating quarterback pressures, it's Von Miller with 38. Their next best player is at 16. That's the biggest disparity from a team leader to the number two guy in the entire NFL. So that's the kind of dramatic impact Von Miller's had. Now, Buffalo's had a lot of success against the Patriots since Tom Brady left, so we would expect that they'd continue to win against in this type of matchup, but it's a different situation every week.
Ed, has your tune changed on the Buffalo Bills? Because, you know, there's a lot of people in football that are now, you know, crowning Patrick Mahomes as the MVP, or saying the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, and I don't think there's an argument to be made there, but to completely lose faith on the Buffalo Bills because of the rough stretch that they're going through right now. I mean, you got to remember this team has gone through a rash of injuries on their defense, especially their star players on defense. Josh Allen has been dealing with an elbow injury, but they're winning close games right now, which is something that we're not used to seeing from this team. So is this something that could benefit them, or do you think that, you know, this is a team right now that is coming back down to earth a little bit?
Well, I think it's not the team that we thought when the season began that was dominant and had few, if any, flaws. I mean, you know, we mentioned Von Miller. We don't know how he's going to play when he comes back, and that affects their pass rush. You know, Josh Allen is a great quarterback, but they're awfully dependent on him, and he's playing through, as you mentioned, an elbow injury himself. No team has been less capable of getting any kind of productivity on a consistent basis out of their running game. So that you combine all of those factors, and like you mentioned, you know, it's more competitive in the AFC than we thought, and that makes them more vulnerable too. And so for all of those reasons, maybe people have come off of Buffalo a little more, and then there's, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City and what they've done, and that division not shaping up like we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be this ultra-competitive division with everybody having a franchise quarterback. Instead, Kansas City's totally dominated the AFC West. So, no, I think Buffalo is still an entirely capable team, but they're not perfect anymore like we thought early in the year. And it's hard to go through a whole season and not have some flaws be exposed or lose some key players to injuries. So they've got plenty of time to get it all back, you know, depending on how Von Miller responds when he returns. They're just getting Tre'Davious White, their best cornerback, integrated back into the defense. I think he only played 16 snaps last week. We expect him to play far more tonight. So, you know, I think Buffalo still can be expected to be one of the final two teams in the AFC as we've come to expect.
Speaking of the final two teams in the AFC, last year the AFC Championship game was Kansas City at Cincinnati. This week you've got Kansas City at Cincinnati. And I got to tell you, Ed, I don't know your thoughts on this. I am so wildly curious. The worst game I think I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play was that 27-24 overtime loss last year in that AFC Championship game. The second half and overtime, four punts, one field goal, two interceptions. You had the Bengals beating KC twice last year. You had Jamar Chase having that ridiculous 266-yard game at the, near the end of the regular season. I'm curious your thoughts, Ed. To me, the, even more than Miami at San Fran or Tennessee at Philly, it's Kansas City traveling to take on the Bengals. This, for me, is the game of the weekend. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, the Bengals are trying to become the first team to beat Patrick Mahomes three times. Nobody's done that yet. And speaking to some people in Kansas City and on the coaching staff there, you know, they certainly view this as a huge game. It's one, for the reasons you specified, they've been waiting for since they walked off that field in January, realizing they're not going to the Super Bowl. And one coach there told me, hey, I think this Joe Burrow kid is the closest thing we've seen to a young Tom Brady. And so that's the regard with which they hold Joe Burrow based on their two previous failures against him. And the, you know, the offensive line seems to be playing better. Joe Mixon's worked back into practice for Cincinnati. But, man, look at the Chiefs. I talk about how maybe we've underestimated them. They lead the NFL in points per game, yards per play, third down percentage. I mean, nobody's done that for a full season since the 2001 Rams. That's the greatest show on turf.
Wow.
And Patrick Mahomes is doing this in his first season without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do. And then I think defensively, they can take the ball away and rush the passer. So, yeah, this is a huge matchup and one certainly Kansas City's looking to validate themselves in a game against an opponent that kept them from their Super Bowl dream last year.
Secretly, I'm saying go Bengals in that game, Ed.
Because you think it's better for Buffalo?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've always said it. Like, I don't get too high or too low on wins or losses during the season. But if there's one thing that I think the Bills need to prioritize, that's finishing ahead of Kansas City so that in any matchup that they may play them, they get the home field advantage. Because, you know, the Arrowhead, they've had regular season success there, but it's the playoff success that has burned them and burned them very hard. I want to talk about...
They have to play better for the final 13 seconds at Arrowhead, that's all.
Oh, jeez, 13 seconds. Forever haunted by 13 seconds. The team you cover is the Dallas Cowboys, but the place that you spend most of your time is in Denver, and Denver is obviously the center of a lot of negative attention in the NFL. They just got flexed out of a primetime game in 2 weeks, but mostly because it's Russell Wilson who just has completely fallen off the face of the earth when it comes to playing quarterback. And you tweeted out something yesterday about comments that he made saying that his confidence has never wavered, it doesn't waver, and how the team's confidence doesn't waver. What do you make of this situation with Russell Wilson and the Broncos, and what are people in Denver saying about this situation?
I think everybody in football is trying to figure out whether the problem in Denver is Russell Wilson and, you know, him turning 34 and not being the player that Denver thought they were getting when they acquired him in that huge offseason trade? Or is it, you know, their first year head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who, you know, has been so overmatched that early in the season he had to bring in an assistant coach out of retirement to help him with game management. And then a couple weeks ago, he turned over offensive play calling to Clint Kubiak. I mean, it's just amazing how badly Denver has failed and that it's come on offense to the extent that it has. I mean, they're last in the entire NFL in so many offensive categories, you know, including scoring, penalties committed, red zone offense, points per game. I mean, all the things that Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, who didn't call plays in Green Bay, were so good at, red zone and scoring, have been Denver's biggest failures this year. And I think one of the things when people look at Russell Wilson, you know, he's under 6 feet tall. Has he lost his mobility to get out of the pocket and extend plays and get on the edge where he's been so effective throughout his career? Or is Hackett and his system not allowing him those opportunities, which he seems to need to thrive? So I think it's going to be a one and done in all likelihood for Nathaniel Hackett. and somebody else is going to get the coach Russell Wilson going forward. Because you just, when you're choosing between those two positions, yeah, and you've get invested as much as Denver has in the quarterback, you have really no choice but to keep the quarterback and find somebody else who can convince you that they can make it work in a way that it hasn't. I mean, I'm not sure there's anything that's been more surprising in all of football than how badly Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett have failed the Denver Broncos this year.
It's absolutely number one when you're that bad and you get Patrick Mahomes flexed out of a primetime game. That speaks poorly to the job.
Just quickly, Matt, hold on. Did you get invited to his birthday party yet?
Yeah.
I did not get invited to his birthday party, but one of the two members of our family went just to accurately represent the locker room in Denver.
Nice.
I went. It was a delight. Loot bags for everyone. Ed, as we end this, let's end on the theme of undersized quarterbacks who have underperformed this year. Kind of an eventful week for Kyler Murray, calls out his coach earlier in the week, and then a former teammate says Kyler Murray only cares about Kyler Murray.
Patrick Peterson saying that, and then, yes, and Kyler Murray responded that he would expect a former teammate and a team leader like Patrick Peterson to call him if he had some suggestions on how he might find more success and conduct himself in a better manner rather than, what do you say, drag him on social media for the purpose of improving his podcast ratings or whatever he said. Yeah, it's been a great exchange. I mean, I really don't think – I've been watching Hard Knocks in season. I watched it last night. I've watched every episode. And as soon as I started watching some of the interactions – you know, between Cliff Kingsbury and the players and Steve Keim, the general manager, you really get a sense of this is a team that just is tired of hearing the same message all the time. They're not very motivated. I'm not sure how much they love their quarterback right now. I mean, Patrick Peterson's played there for a very long time, and he doesn't have a history of going out and recklessly assassinating the character of his former teammates. So between what he said, and we know that the Cardinals tried to put that clause in his contract requiring him to study a certain amount every week, I think there are serious questions about his future in Arizona. Although Michael Bidwell, the owner, just spent $300 million in extending Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and the GM, the three people most responsible for the failure of the Arizona Cardinals.
If not for the Russell Wilson trade, that would be considered the biggest mistake in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Ed, always a pleasure. Enjoy just an incredible slate of games this weekend. All the best.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good day,
buddy. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Ed Werder from ESPN, our NFL insider.
I mean, God, wait a minute. You got an invite to Russell Wilson's party?
Yeah, I was there. It was great. You weren't there?
Really?
I was looking for you.
Even if I did get an invite, I wouldn't go, Matt.
Are you kidding? Me and Sierra, we were hanging out. We were doing our TikTok videos together. It was an absolute delight. I taught her some moves. Yeah. For me, I'm a very much pelvic centered fella when it comes to my dancing. Most of the power, you know, my hips don't lie, and it's mostly pelvic-based dancing is what I do.
You are unlimited with those hip thrusts.
That is correct.
Let's ride, baby.
Let's ride. Hey, let's bring up the punter. Let's ride. Three and out. Let's ride
the offense right off the field. So who is becoming more of an annoying athlete, Matt? Is it Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, LeBron James, or who else in the NBA could you throw in that category?
Usually someone from the Nets.
Kyrie Irving?
I mean,
that's a good poll question.
It is.
Who is becoming the most annoying athlete to listen to?
LeBron James calling out the media for saying, why aren't you asking me about Jerry Jones when you asked me about Kyrie Irving? I understand the reasons behind it, but it's such intellectual dishonesty from LeBron James. When he asked that question and the reporters wanted to give an answer and LeBron said, no, I don't want you to answer. I just want you to listen. If you say you want to have an honest dialogue about race, we need to dialogue. That means you need to have two sides. And to compare Kyrie Irving actively being anti-Semitic versus a horrible photo from when Jerry Jones was like 13 years old, I think that's intellectually dishonest by LeBron James. awkwardly transitioning from that, on the other side, it is my FanDuel Best Bets, and we get you set for Canada versus Morocco. That's Carlo. I'm Cause. I'd vote LeBron right now. You are listening to First Up.